And now, Hard Facts.
Hard Facts with Dio.
Welcome back. Still Hard Facts on 91.3 Nigeria. In phone, Harry and Bud Harker, I'm Dio. We've got about, it's 10 minutes gone past 4 p.m. Conversation continues. Many thanks for staying tuned. Discussion continues at about this time. And we're looking into some development taking place in Plateau State. Here's the story, cut to the vanguard. Well, the many stories on this matter that have surfaced online in the last couple of days, actually, I think from last week or thereabouts. Well, let's start with this one from the Vanguard. Faction of Plateau Speaker Sanda declares Ayuba wanted, suspends him, five others. The crisis rocking the Plateau State House of Assembly degenerated yesterday with the arrest of the embattled Speaker Abok Ayuba and 10 other members of the House loyal to him by security operatives in the vicinity of the Assembly in Jos. This is even as the factional Speaker, Yakubu Sanda, who had been received and congratulated by Governor Simon DeLong yesterday, announced the suspension of Ayuba and six other members and setting up of a committee to investigate Ayuba. However, State Police Commissioner Edward Igboka and the NSCDC Commandant Alexander Burunde led operatives of other security agencies in the state to the Assembly complex, where they arrested the lawmakers and drove them out in Hilux vans at about 3:15 p.m. Ayuba was whisked away through the back gate of the Assembly after security agents unleashed tear gas canisters on peaceful protesters and journalists. Now, you might remember, Ayuba was on October 27 allegedly impeached by 8 members of the Assembly and elected Yakubu Sanda as new Speaker. Although the House members said they were not told where they were being taken to, as Apple kept shouting, "I cannot say if I'm under arrest at this moment." One of the lawmakers, Ezra Marin, accused Governor Simon DeLong of allegedly encouraging the lawlessness. Now, earlier, Ayuba and his loyalists had in the morning gained entrance into the chambers, having been barred last Thursday when he was purportedly impeached, forcing him to hold plenary at a community hall in Zawan in Jos South local government area. At another sitting, he suspended 6 members who spearheaded his alleged impeachment, even as Governor Lalong received and congratulated Yakubu Sanda, member representing Pen Ghana State constituency, who was purportedly appointed as Speaker by the faction that impeached Ayuba. The governor has, however, distanced himself from the crisis in the Assembly. So let's talk about this development for now. And, well, beyond the Plateau State situation, has the legislature in Nigeria, especially at the states, in the various states in the country, lift up to the tenets of democracy? We're going to be exploring these and other related matters. And joining me via phone for this conversation is Associate Professor of Public Law at the River State University and former Chairman, Nigeria Bar Association, Amak Branch, Barrister Rachel Wokocha. Barrister Wokocha, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Dario, and good evening, Nigerians.
Let's start with the issue of the impeachment of the Speaker of a State House of Assembly. What does the Constitution prescribe as far as the process for such impeachment is concerned?
The election of House officers is an affair conducted by the regular manner of business of the House, which is voting. And it's one which is done by simple majority of members sitting. It's a decision of the House which is conducted in the usual manner of the conduct of businesses of the House. So, simply a resolution of the House by majority of members. 51% is sufficient to appoint or remove a Speaker.
So you're saying that just for the Speaker to be removed, 51% of the members is all that's required to remove him?
Yes, simple majority is sufficient.
Okay. Now, considering the development with in Plateau State, I've read several reports on the matter. One report says that there were 6 members of the House who were responsible for the impeachment, another report said eight members were present at the impeachment, even though the now speaker, the new, well, reportedly, the newly appointed speaker insists that they had 16 persons sign the petition against the allegedly now removed speaker. But there are 24 members in the Plateau State House of Assembly, assuming but not conceding that 16 persons signed this the petition against the now embattled speaker. Whether there were six who took part in the process or eight that took part in the process, as some of our reports say, let's go with the eight figure because that's the maximum I've come across. Would eight members be enough to have impeached the now embattled speaker?
Certainly not. Even if 90% of them signed the petition, the speaker should be removed. The consideration of the petition on the floor of the House must be approved by 51% of members, at least 51% of members of the House, not members sitting, but members of the House, claimed by judicial decision in the plethora of cases on what the Constitution means by members in these businesses. Members of the House. So a 24%, a 24 member House were required to have at least 30 people vote in favor of removal of the speaker before the speaker can stand removed. So 8 people, even if it's 10 people, it will not be enough. Even 12 will be 50%, and that will not be majority decision. So a minimum of 13 persons is required for such a business to be carried out in a House by Plateau State House of Assembly where they have 24 members.
What do you make of the of what's playing out here? Because, and it's not just in Plateau State, we've had very similar events or occurrences of this nature transpire over the years in the country where, you know, reportedly members or speakers of state houses of assembly are removed unceremoniously under very questionable processes, as happened in this case. Now, first, we hear that these members who allegedly impeached the speaker convened at the assembly complex at about 5:30 a.m., definitely way earlier than most of them will probably have even woken up, let alone converge at the assembly complex to carry out any activities for the day. And then once again, some reports say six members, others say eight members took part in this reported impeachment. Some anomalies, basically. And also even the confusion as to how many members precisely took part in this process. Were they six? Were they eight? Were they more? What do you make of all of this conflicting and confusing and disturbing reports from this incident?
What I make of it is that we have not as a nation learned anything at all. We are in the habit of not learning anything. Let me not say we are not in the habit of learning. We are in the habit of not learning anything from historical activities. The courts have confronted this issue over and over again and made the position of the law clear. You will recall, for as long as we have had these conversations, I have said these things will keep happening until we are able to develop hard enough and strong enough responses to such serious misconduct before they can stop. I have always recommended that we should have a minimum of a 10-year ban to anybody who partakes in such rape of the Constitution. And that if we have that, not many politicians would be willing to be in the cooler for 10 years. And you will have a change, and that these activities will not go on. But repeatedly, they go on, and they happen for free. They go on, and they do what they want to do, and if they are backed by the executive, they carry on and say, that is the position, and as you had in River State some years ago. Also, if you remain like that and remain successful, the party will have no option than to go to court because you will be effectively stopped from going there by security authorities. They will have no option than to go to court and push the matter all the way to Supreme Court. At one time, the tenure has elapsed, and they will have succeeded in illegally truncating the activities of the House. We need to put a stop to this irresponsibility. We need to make it expensive. That is the only way the law moderate and regulate societies everywhere in the world. there should be a high price for a wrong conduct that is adjudged wrong by the Supreme. And that is the only way to keep people from taking liberties with it. Otherwise, this will continue to happen. So what I make of it is that, as usual, we have learned nothing and we are continuing to learn nothing. And this will continue until we do something about it. We still haven't done anything about it.
Now, taking it from what you just said, I'd like to quote the Sander, who is said to be Yakubu Sander, who is said to be the speaker now, the newly appointed speaker. And I'm quoting him right now. Quote, he said, quote, "We are about 13 in number. The number that signed the impeachment is 16. Now, he said the number that signed the impeachment is 16. But you said it's not about who signed what. It's about the number of persons who are on the floor of the House.
Make the decision.
Exactly, when the impeachment reportedly take place. Now, to that, he said we are about certain in number. I mean, in other words, even he appears to not be certain as to how many persons were present when the impeachment took. I mean, there must have been a definite number of persons that were present. A confirmed number of persons that were present when the impeachment allegedly took place. Now,
I think his statement makes the situation clear that they were not up to the required number. If it is about, which means that there is no certainty, it is not that, it is plus minus, or he thinks it is up to, it means it is not that number. He would have said we are certain in number. So we are about 13 in number means that they were not up to 13 in number. The number 13 is not 13. And 13 is what is required to carry out the business. So they were not up to the number required by law.
Then you said that just a while, you said when these anomalies take place, you have security operators will swing into action. They will prevent persons from getting access. In some cases, other extreme measures are even taken. And then the aggrieved parties would have to go to court. This may last for a very prolonged period, sometimes even to the end of the tenure of the administration. Now, what is the role of the security agents in cases like this? Because they're supposed to implement the law. So does it mean that two persons can go to a state house of assembly of 36 members, impeach somebody, and then next thing, security, once you just, as long as, it's almost sounding like the proverbial case of who reports to the police first. So somebody rushes to the police and says, oh, we have impeached somebody, and then all of a sudden the police just spring into the situation, bar the so-called impeached person, and then the guys who claim to have impeached can carry on with business however would they deem fit. What do you make of that?
It's a development. I know that happens mostly where the executive is behind the activity. The police is an executive instrument for maintaining peace. And because it's an executive instrument, it works under the control of the executive. So whenever in our common experience here in Nigeria, the executive is involved in this kind of thing, what the police will do is to go and seal up the place, prevent the person from coming in, and tell the person, well, you can go to court. You can seek legal redress to see we want peace. We don't want to break down of law and order. So they will protect those whom they are instructed to protect. And that is not supposed to be the role of the police. It is legislative business. If they get in there and they want to vote and they want to reject what has been done, they should go in there and do whatever they have to do. All members should be entitled to go in there and sort out what they have to do. But the idea of sealing up the place and letting some people in and not letting some in, it's clearly executive interference in those business.
But the governor of Plateau State, Simon Lalong, has repeatedly indicated that he has nothing to do with what's playing out in the State House of Assembly. And, you know, governors in Nigeria, and I imagine that the governor of Plateau State Inclusive never miss an opportunity to remind Nigerians that they are only chief security officers in title and they don't actually control the police and they can't give orders to the police.
Especially in this circumstance.
Well,
especially in these circumstances, where they are able to procure them to do what they want to do, they remind us they don't have control over them. In other circumstances, they say that as a matter of regret and as a matter of complaint. But this time, they say it as a statement of the position of the law, which they support. They don't have anything to do about it, and they can't do anything about it. It's the usual Nigerian thing, and for me, it's tough because this country is continuously being thrown at the front banner of the news around the world. It's a very unserious country, and it needs to stop.
Let's talk about the governors, the executive. You've stated that these things are also able to succeed, or the perpetrators of this constitutional and democratic anomaly are able to succeed because more often than not, the executives are party to what's playing out as well. Let's talk about that for a bit. Do governors tend to be meddlesome with what's playing out, what plays out in the state, in the assemblies in their various states? And if that's the case, what are the implications of that?
You know, because the legislature is the supervisor to the governor, and the governor serves at the pleasure of the legislature, and I like to put it that way because the constitutional or legal definition of gross misconduct for which a governor can be removed from office is one which leaves much in the hands of the legislature. Gross misconduct has actually come to be to be understood to be whatever the legislature calls cross misconduct. Once they take a position and the right number of people support that position, the governor stands removed. So because of that relationship, governors tend to want to control the legislature. It's not entirely different from what happens at the center. It's just that at the center, the number involved is much larger, and the possibility of anything happening and people getting prepared to do everything, anything to affect the president, is a much more longer shot than it is in the House of Assembly. So, as a measure of protectionism, executive officers, the governors at the state level, often want to be sure of who is in charge at the House of Assembly. If they don't run together as a team, they bring him in and support. Supporting him from behind, lobbying for him to be the speaker. The entire idea is to protect themselves because that is the office that can do and undo in relation to their awesome office as speaker of the peace. I think that is what has driven the unholy relationship and sometimes interference of executive officers with legislative offices in Nigeria, especially at the state level of government.
There is a widespread perception in the country that members of state houses of assembly are merely nothing but errand boys to state governors, or at best an appendage or an extension of the governor's pen, if you will. And from what you said right now, that is not how it was designed to be. The legislature actually wielded enormous powers. So is it that the legislature at the state level do not even first understand the powers that they wield? Is that, what do you think is response? Yes, the governor, the executives want one thing, but then again, it's all right for the executive to want one thing. He's got a mind of his own. He can think what he wants to think or determine what he wants. But I suspect that the members of these houses have no idea what powers they wield, and that's how that's why they allow for this meddlesomeness on the part of the executives.
One thing that comes with control processes, which you have, where you do not have internal democracy in party process. One thing that comes with it is that institutions get programmed. In most states of this country, governors buy form for members of the House of Assembly. They go in there at least with a large number, if not all members of the House of Assembly. So they can, my earlier statement, I said they run together. They bring in people who will run with them and who are there for the purpose. And when that happens, yes, you have a powerful House of Assembly. But you have a powerful House of Assembly that had an issue, came with instruction. So it will not depart from the instruction because every member is vulnerable. And every member's continuous enjoyment of their position is dependent on the goodwill of the chief executive. So when you have that situation, it's like what the way I describe independence of the judiciary, where appointment process is not independent. You have an institution that is independent to go to its master and ask what you want me to do. It becomes independence, freedom to do what they want, which is go to their master and take instruction. So you have programmed houses of assembly, and it's difficult for you to have normal functions of House of Assembly, and it's shameful because it doesn't reduce the power of the House of Assembly or reduce the capacity of the House of Assembly. It reduces the quality of governance we get. The House of Assembly is supposed to be coming up with laudable policies and ideas for the executive to implement. But when you have a programmed house, they just sit here and pass executive bills, and they can really not stop anything, and they cannot get the executive to change anything. They just pass executive bills. And like as Nigerians like to say, as Robert Sam, pass whatever is brought before them. It affects the quality of governance we have, and it's part of the reasons why we are the way we are.
It is Hard Facts, 91.3 Nigeria, in Fun Her Input Harcourt. We're discussing the situation in Plateau State, where the Speaker of the House has allegedly been impeached by some members of the Assembly. Barrister Wokoo Charles joined me via phone for the conversation. Commercial break now. We'll return shortly. Discussions continue. We'd like to get your take on the matter as well. Deeply stay tuned. Hard Facts returns shortly.
And now, Hard Facts.
Welcome back to Hard Factor 91.3 Nigeria Info, Her Input Harcourt. I'm Dyer. Discussions continue. Many thanks for staying tuned. Once again, joined by Barrister Richard Wokocha. He's joined me via phone. Barrister Wokocha, you're welcome once again. Barrister Wokocha, hello, you're welcome once again.
Thank you, Dyer. Thank you.
And at the moment, we're discussing the situation in Plateau State, where reportedly, or allegedly, the Speaker of the Plateau State House of Assembly has been impeached. Some reports say by 6% out of 24, others say 8 out of 24. And reportedly, there are 24 members of the Plateau State House of Assembly. Barrister Wokoo Charles stated that constitutionally, a simple majority, that's 51%, in this case, 13 people, not 12, but 13 persons, are expected to be a part of the impeachment process. The reporter or the alleged new speaker indicates that he's got 16 persons in his camp who signed some impeachment documents, but Barrister Wokoo has also made it clear. Now, it's not about the number of persons who signed the document, but rather it's about the number of persons who took part in the process actively and physically on the floor of the House when the impeachment process took place, and the Constitution states that they have to be at least 13 in number and agreed to carry out this impeachment on the floor of the House. Now, Barrister Wokocha, besides these 13 people, at least in this case, since there are 24 members of the House who are required to take part in the process, is that all there is to it? In other words, today is Tuesday. So can they just wake up Wednesday morning, no full notice, go into the State House of Assembly and then reportedly carry out an impeachment process and the Speaker of the House of Assembly stands impeached? Is that how it works? Even if they got the exact numbers needed.
Once the House is in session and an appropriate notice is given, raising a complaint against the Speaker and calling for his removal, if the appropriate number, which is about 51% of members of the House on record, agreed, it's a simple resolution for them in the case of the House of Assembly or in the case of the Legislative Chamber. It's a simple resolution of members of the House. So it's as effective as any law that they pass by majority of members.
Now, you also mentioned
Any day it happens, it's effective.
You mentioned a while ago as well that what we've seen transpire over the years is that this happens. Security operatives barred the person who may have been wrongly removed from office and his members and his supporters. Those who have hijacked the assembly are allowed to continue running the system, usually with the support of the executive anyways, usually. And then those who are aggrieved are advised, even by the security agents themselves, to go to court to seek redress there. More often than not, these matters go on for forever till the matter or parliament, till the tenure elapses. Now, doesn't that suggest that even the judiciary might be complicit here as well? Because, I mean, if six or eight persons, I mean, the facts of the matter are the facts of the matter. The facts of the matter will very likely not change. The Constitution also will not change its position on the matter as well. So why do these cases usually drag on for forever before substantive orders or judgments of court are made?
What I can say is that it's a situation where the judiciary can make a lot of difference if they decide to do. And it lies within their power. Just as you said, in this matter, they are pretty straightforward. The man who brings the complaint, and within the time allowed by law, the other man responds, and the matter begins. It's not one which should drag for long. If evidence is less showing that the actual number, which is less than the constitutionally required number, took the action, it's a matter that shouldn't last a long time. But I would agree with you that sometimes whatever virus that infected the House of Assembly also infects the judicial process. So that leads to the kind of result that we get. The same problem that caused the abnormal activity in the House of Assembly that is gaining effect, which is very often in many of the circumstances, executive interference. It also interferes with the judicial process one way or the other and ensures that the matter drags.
All right, let's get your take right now on the matter at hand. Join the conversation. The lines are officially open, 0817-963-0002, 0817-963-0003 or 0007. We are live on facebook.com/NigeriaInfoPH, WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. Keep it brief and stretch the point, of course, and want to call Isanta to turn down the volume of your radio set as well. And via Facebook, Anoze Charles goes, the state legislature in Nigeria adjust errand boys to the respective state governors, no independence. That's via Facebook. Remember, you can also watch live on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info PH on YouTube. We go to the phone lines right now. I've got a Michael on the line from Borikiri. Hello, you're welcome. Go ahead.
Hello, I want to ask you, sir, can an individual take this matter to court to seek redress to stop this thing recurring? Thank you.
All right, Parash, would you like to get a question? Lost connection with my guest. Apologies, we'll need to reconnect. The conversation will continue shortly. Please stay with us.
We connect you to the world. We connect you to the vicinity. We are Nigeria Info.
Listen to me. I said this is a real situation and the government has to do something about it.
This is Nigeria Info in the heart of Nigeria. 92.3. We are Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. Conversation continues right now. Reconnected with my guest, Barrister Okocha. So the caller. The last caller was asking a question, or he asked a question, and he's trying to find out, can an individual, I presume, who's not a member of the House of Assembly, take this matter to court to seek redress?
I think our jurisprudence has developed sufficiently to whittle down the usual hurdle of locus standi. I believe that I might, as a citizen and as a voter who voted and a constituent of one of the constituencies of the House of Assembly, I believe that I might be able to take out an action So a citizen might be able to take out such action, and because the House of Assembly does not just belong to them, it's House of Assembly of the state. And so a voter and a constituent might be able to do so. But it's usually more effective when those who are directly involved handle it. However, where the constitution is breached, I have no doubt that even a citizen will be able to raise that issue and it will receive attention from the court.
Do you suppose that with the way the state assemblies are being run, vis-a-vis once again the meddlesomeness, if you will, of the executives, do you suppose that the citizens themselves, in your experience, understand or have come to terms with the importance, the relevance of the state legislature and what their own roles are as citizens to ensure it functions appropriately?
I think they would have come to terms with the fact that there is little they can do as citizens as far as their role is concerned. If you look at it technically, there is really very little they can do because of the character of interference that happens with our electoral system. What the citizen has power to do is to determine who goes. But if they present to you two bad eggs, you have to choose between two bad eggs, which bad eggs you go in. Now, if we had internal democratic processes observed by our parties, the most popular candidates in the party will emerge as flag bearers of the party in each election. And so, by extension, more reasonable people in the party who have the capacity and are trusted by party members to be able to do the work, will be able to compete and get the ticket. But as it is now, tickets either get to you as a blessing from the executive at the state level or the candidate running at the state level or party leaders at the state or at the center. So you are either having government house, state government house blessing, or you have an Abuja blessing for you to be able to get the flag of the party to represent the party. So in that circumstance, what the people can do becomes very limited because they can only vote to determine which of persons imposed on them that will have to sit on the seat in the House of Assembly. So that is where the internal democratic process is key for our political party. Recently, you recall the National Assembly or the Senate talked about internal processes being observed, that direct rabbis being adopted at party congresses. If that happens, then you will begin to see a change in the quality of minds that will come to the House of Assembly. And you will begin to see a different behavior from the House of Assembly. It won't immediately stop everything, but gradually we will build confidence and more serious minds will get involved. And then we'll begin to get a different behavior from the House of Assembly than what you're having at the moment.
No, it's unlikely that existing party structures, or maybe a lot, or maybe a majority of existing party structures, are going to change from what you just described. It's highly unlikely that's going to happen. But haven't we had instances where some maybe not so big or not so popular parties, maybe parties without what we describe as structure, without parties that don't have what we call structure, or are not, as we also say, on ground, some of the other similarly bigger parties, even when they present individuals that have some credibility as well, the electorate are prone to not looking in their direction, claiming once again that they don't have structure or that they are not on ground, whatever that means.
Well, that's for now, because they have a process that is controlled. So the electorate looks at what is possible and what is not possible. You'll find that every election is usually between two big parties, or at the most three. If it's in Anambra State, you'll talk about APGA, APC, and PDP. In all the other states, you'll likely have just PDP and APC battling it out in those states. The others are on the ballot, yes, but they are not seriously there. And so because they have a control process in which citizens don't have confidence, party members go by what leadership says. Nobody has, in fact, what they look up to is their transport from the Congress and their allowance from the Congress, not really to go there and vote any candidate to make him pass. sometime in the past of our fairly long history, and I don't agree that our history is too short as a nation. We have had the chance here, independent candidates won election. It shouldn't be impossible if we put the right laws in place. We will be able to recreate the culture under which that happened in this country. So you can bring your money back candidate, and the popular candidate is bought by an insignificant party, or he runs as an independent candidate. There is a difference between party members and the electorate. The people will vote the popular candidate. So what we need is laws that will get us into the right mood to create opportunity for the people to be able to express themselves. The people are now operating presently in a controlled environment, and they can do little or nothing in that circumstance. That's why you keep having a repeat of situations and scenarios in every election.
Why, what's up, Soknu, who goes, my anger with our system is the overbearing influence of the executive over the other arms of government. In every direction you move, you tend to see such. I'm looking overwhelmed. I don't know if we can ever come out of this. Good evening. So great to have him as well. On that note, we'll wrap up the conversation. Thanks for joining in, especially thanks to my guest, Barrister Richard Wokocha, Associate Professor of Public Law at the River State University. Barrister Wokocha, many thanks for your time.
Great pleasure, Dario.